Hello, everyone, and welcome back to episode 4 of Revolution Solution.
Are we going to have to do something special for, like, episode 5? Can we do that? We have the power.
I mean, yes, we have the power, but is there a reason to?
There's always a reason to do something special.
Okay. Anyways, welcome back to another episode
of... Tell which one of us is the pessimist.
Revolution Solution. My name is Alex.
My name is Sarah.
And thank you so much for listening. Today, we're going to be talking about college. And
gross.
And kind of more specifically than just college in general, but like specifically how college is pawned off on us as young, moldable students in high school and even middle school now.
Honestly, even elementary school.
Yeah.
Like, I do not remember a time in my educational career when I was not told I had to go to college.
Well, and that not just that college is college is so important to go to, but also because college is the end all be all. It's the dream. It's like everybody goes to college. Why wouldn't you go to college?
And I even remember in high school, before I went to WKU, I've told you about this, I was looking very heavily at out-of-state schools, specifically in Chicago, because I love that city. And I even had guidance counselors who were straight up telling me, well, if you do that, you're not going to be able to go to college, so you shouldn't look at those schools. You should look at these affordable schools. Not work hard so I can go to those colleges eventually, which, thinking back on it now and having the knowledge that I have, I might have tried doing, is taking maybe like a semester or two where I just go and I work my butt off.
Yeah.
So I can afford that tuition, but instead was told, no, you need to go to college now, right out of high school. So go to these instead.
Well, there is a statistic to say that, like, the sooner out of high school that you go to college, the better you're going to do. However, that's not a rule, that's a statistic. And you know what the thing about statistics are, they measure averages, not exceptions.
Exactly.
And so I don't know how much you would really, I don't know how much like really I would like abide by that rule, especially considering the fact that if you're working your butt off for a couple of years just to get with the goal in mind of going to college, I feel like you're going to have more of a drive to get through college than most of the people who just came right out of high school who are just there to party.
Not to mention, it was a private university. Like, shout out to Roosevelt University in Chicago. I was accepted into a private university in Chicago and was told by my guidance counselor in high school not to do it because I would have to take like a gap year to be able to afford it versus I like just going to WKU. Don't get me wrong, I enjoy my education at WKU. I enjoy and put high value on any education I can get. But I wasn't even given the option of I can wait and see if I can afford this. It was, you need to go now.
Right, right. There's a no wait policy most of the time.
Mm-hmm.
And I tell you, that's something for me that always really, really bugged me in high school was all of the push of like, go to college, go to college, go to college. Because for me, I didn't even decide on a college until probably, I don't know, like about March of like...
Of what year?
My senior year.
What?
Yeah. Well, because it was a thing of like, I was trying to figure out who would give me the best scholarships, and I was really trying to get my ACT score up, and December is the deadline. After December, it was a lot of, I finally got to start touring some places and like getting a good look at some places.
What was the push like from your guidance counselors?
Insistent.
Well, because I'm wondering if it's more of a regional thing, because I know where you're from and where I'm from, me being from a bigger city, you being from a more smaller town, at least with bigger city, there was a lot of push to go to some of the bigger name universities.
Well,
U of L, UK,
well, mine
WKU.
Mine was University of the Cumberland's, because University of Cumberland's was about 30 minutes away. And I had taken online classes through the University of Cumberland's through some dual credit courses that I was already in. So all of that would transfer super easy. However, at that point, UC was a private institution. They no longer are, and their tuition's been massively decreased. But at that point, they were, and it was like $40,000 a year.
That's more than Western.
That's a lot more than Western's.
That's to give you an idea, I was gonna have to pay $60,000 a semester for Roosevelt. So yeah. And that's in Chicago, out of state tuition.
Right. And then University of the Cumberland is in Williamsburg, Kentucky, which is the equivalent of the armpit of the universe.
Pretty much. Well, I'm meaning more so in, and this is gonna sound kind of mean, but I can't think of any other way to say it. Of in a smaller town, it's less of a you should go to this college to get an education. It's more of a you should go to college to say you have gone to college.
Well, yeah. And honestly, even though that University of the Commonwealth was kind of one of the things that like they kind of pushed on people, they pushed UK really hard too. Mm-hmm. And they pushed UK because of prestige. Because in the town that I am from, if you could say that you graduated from University of Kentucky, you were almost a celebrity because of how present the fandom of like UK sports teams was.
Mm-hmm.
But also because of it's also seen in that part of the state as like Ivy League. It's like it's a massive deal if you go to University of Kentucky. And like
I mean, UK is not a terrible school.
Well, I had no desire to go to University of Kentucky for a couple reasons. Because one, it was the most expensive in-state tuition of any college in the state. And secondly, it was really weird how it's set up because like it's not like one campus, it's like broken up over a couple of blocks and it's really weird.
And don't they have some in like different cities as well? Because I know WKU,
well, I mean, the branches, sure, but yeah. Like but the final kind of piece of the puzzle, and this is a little bit of my own kind of thing, is that a lot of the people who I knew in my graduating class who were going to UK
turds
were kind of like the stuck-up, pretentious people who I had no desire to go to any more school with. In fact, I ended up going to the school that was almost looked down upon by 90% of like the population of my school because, A, Western is very much a Western part of Kentucky thing. If you're from the Western side of Kentucky, then you go to Western. If you're from the Eastern side of Kentucky, you go to Eastern or UK. There's no in-between. That's like it. And again, because people in that town are kind of closed-minded. But the thing is that I wanted to go to Western for two main reasons. One, it was affordable. It was actually, there's a lot of reasons. One, it was more affordable. Two, it was not Eastern because I don't like Eastern's campus at all. I love Western's campus. It's gorgeous here almost year-round.
Except for the fact that it's on the only hill in Bowling Green.
I mean, yeah, you take some, you lose some. But at the same time, Eastern's has got its fair share of hills, too. Mm-hmm. So, like, it's – but
I mean, we're in Appalachia. I don't know what y'all expect.
Right. But with that said, it was that and, like, the fact that, like, it was 2.5 hours away from this little town that I had spent my entire life in that I had no desire to come back to after college. So I was like, you know what? I'm going to spend as much time away from here as I can, and it will help me clear my mind.
That was kind of mine, too. WKU definitely was not my first choice, like I said, the whole Roosevelt thing. But even then, I got early admin to UK because I didn't even intend to. I realized I sent in my application with the early admission deadline versus a normal deadline and got in. And I was like, oh, I didn't realize this was as big a deal as it was. So I was caught between the two, and then I kind of had the same thing of you as I didn't want to go. I knew a bunch of people going to UK, and they were terrible, not good people. And for me, WKU, a lot of it was, one, WKU's journalism program. WKU is one of the top-ranked journalism schools in the nation.
Yeah, I didn't actually know I wanted to be a broadcaster when I came here, but when I came here and I saw their broadcasting program...
Oh, they sink their teeth into you.
Well, that's really what changed my mind, is that I got exposed to that, and I was like, this is what I want to do.
Exactly.
This is terrible. I'm doing right now is terrible.
Well, see, I got the recommendation from a journalism teacher in high school, because I was like, I don't know where I want to go, because like, I really want to do journalism, but I don't know like what kind of journalism, and he immediately was like, WKU. You can practice any kind of journalism. They've got some awesome majors and minors that you can do with it. It'll be fantastic. And sure enough, here I am. But I do remember, and I feel kind of bad. Mom, I'm sorry. I'm going to kind of throw my mom under the bus a bit.
Oh, no.
When I was first looking at colleges, my mom genuinely looked at me and was like, well, why aren't you applying to any, like, really big Ivy League schools? Like, why aren't you, like, talking about them? And I was like, what do you mean? She's like, well, I mean, you're smart. You've got good grades. Why don't you try applying to, like, Yale or Brown or someplace like that? And I was like, we can't afford a $60,000 a semester tuition.
Let alone one that's 120.
Yeah, well, because the one thing, and I will give some Ivy Leagues kudos for this, if your family is below a certain income bracket and your grades are, like, top tier, they will give you some severe cuts to your tuition, like, all but free tuition. What just happened?
My chair sank down. And
you were so flabbergasted by the free tuition.
No, my chair fell down. Or, like, I found the, like, thing that makes my chair fall, and I have never found that before.
For those of you who are listening, I just saw Alex's life flash before his eyes.
Yeah, just for
but
saying.
No. And fun fact, so I was looking this up because when we started talking about doing this idea, we started talking about some various points, and we started talking about some various points that we have and like issues we have with the pushing of college. And my biggest thing, and I'm sure you all can tell from how much I'm talking about it, college is ridiculously expensive.
Yeah, and I think that's kind of like a really good, like, one sentence wrap up of kind of like what we were getting at in this portion.
College is stupid expensive. To give you an idea, I was looking this up. I was looking up like average college tuition in state, and I found this really awesome article that takes the in-state, out-of-state tuitions of different states and calculates the net cost of attending college in that state. I will give you, of the 51 states, where do you think Kentucky ranks?
21.
You're close. 23rd. Our in-state averages to about $15,016.
Okay.
Our out-of-state is $19,422, which averages to a net cost of about $14,720. Okay. Now, this is as of August 21st of last year, so things may have changed because I know Western's tuition has changed a bit.
Yeah.
And the number one most expensive state to go to college in, thoughts? What do you think?
Either California or like Rhode Island or New York.
Rhode Island, and I'll give you one reason why. Brown University.
Yep.
It is number one on the list. In-state tuition averaged to about $30,879.
Wow.
Out of state is $33,908 average. So the net cost is $28,197, which is almost twice as much.
Wow.
As Kentucky.
Wow.
Yeah, and I don't actually know the number of colleges in Rhode Island, because like I don't even know the number of colleges in Kentucky. I know we've got a fair few though. But so like it's just expensive for no reason. And then you get here and that's just tuition. That doesn't cover any, because something no one else tells you about college is you don't just worry about tuition. You've got textbooks, you've got food, you have to pay to park.
Yeah.
I have to pay to park to go to a place where I had to pay for my textbooks, and I'm already paying to go. And then I'm going to go and I'm going to get a ticket that I'm then going to have to pay to the university I'm already paying $8,000 to.
Yeah. And that's
for just trying to go to school.
Yeah. And I think this is a good point to like kind of transition to another point of like that. Because college is so pawned off and it's so idolized as graduating from college is the end-all be-all, it creates a ton of stress on the students who go, and especially just like some serious like mental like barriers and blocks that people will encounter on their journey through college.
Well, I was telling you about this. So this comparison, I am not comparing... prefacing, not comparing childbirth and college. This is comparing apples and oranges. But with pregnancy comes the possibility of getting what is called postpartum depression, which is essentially once you've had your baby and your baby has been born, you have the possibility of becoming depressed because you are now being faced with the idea of taking care of another human being, and this thing that was growing inside of you is now gone from inside you. It's here, it's there.
Yeah.
And that's a huge change. And going off of that, there is a thing of college depression where it is, even if you in high school had no signs of depression, you were able to balance everything smoothly, you had everything going on.
Yeah.
It can onset depression just because, and I was reading, it's from Mayo Clinic, which is essentially like a blog run by several different doctors, mm-hmm. that says dealing with these changes during the transition from adolescence to adulthood can trigger or unmask depression during college. So it's essentially in high school where you've got the very stringent schedule, you've got your friend group that you get to see every day, you got at least one or two hot meals ready for you that have some balanced nutrition. When all of that is suddenly ripped out from under you, because that's what it is. It isn't a gradual process. You are just dropped into it.
For most people, yeah.
And that can be horrible for some people.
Well, and it's also a thing of like, you've lost all of those comforts.
Mm-hmm.
And on the flip side of that, you've also gained a lot of things, specifically responsibilities. You got to take care of yourself almost entirely now.
Mm-hmm.
You have to be the one that says, this is when I need to go to bed, this is when I need to, you know, study, this is time management is huge.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that's a lot of what a lot of freshmen struggle with.
That's a lot of college kids. I know like seniors that are still struggling with that.
Yeah. And so that's a big thing. Another big thing is like, you've now gained so much freedom that, at least for a while,
it's a culture shock.
You don't want to take responsibility for those things. You just want to live like free, and that ends up, you know, causing your grades to crash, mm-hmm. and stuff like that, which leads to more stress because as your school goes on, you begin to realize, well, wait a minute, everything I do is directly affecting this massive amount of money that I'm going to have to pay off as soon as I'm out of here.
Mm-hmm.
And to say that, you know, whatever it is that I'm studying, I need to study it well so I can get a good job, so I can pay this off as quick as I can, or otherwise, like, you're going to be 45 and still paying that off.
Also, not to mention any guilt that's going to come from parents of like, well, why am I forking over $5,000 a semester for you to fail this class? Or what do you mean you only got a B? What kind of student loans are you expecting to get? Or what kind of scholarships are you expecting to get if you're just pulling a B average?
Right. And I feel like a pretty good portion to start talking about when we don't go to college, what that also does.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's, yes, a stigma of saying, oh, well, you didn't go to college. Well, oh, you must have not been that smart, or blah, 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 blah.
No.
Okay, listen, there's so many great opportunities or just alternatives to college that are amazing opportunities that people just kind of look over.
Yeah.
For example, and somebody who's a massive advocate for this is Mike Rowe. I don't know. Do you know who Mike Rowe is?
Yes, from Dirty Jobs.
From Dirty Jobs, yeah. Mike Rowe is a huge advocate of technical colleges and vocational schools.
Mm-hmm.
He talks about all the time how, like, you know, you can go to this big prestigious college and that you can get this great degree that's like and then accumulate like $100,000 of debt. And he's like, that's fine for the right person. He said, but for a lot of people, they're trying to fit a square in a circle hole.
Yeah, and it doesn't work.
And it doesn't stick, and so they drop out, and then they feel like failures. But he said, a lot of people just need to realize that, like, vocations, stuff like plumbing, electricity, or electricians,
steelwork,
welding, stuff like that.
It pays well, first of all.
Okay, it doesn't just pay well. Because, yes, you have to go to a school for that, but here's the thing. I know a lot of places, including like Bluegrass Community College, they'll let you go just about for free.
Mm-hmm.
The you're not actually going for free, because instead of going for free, they're going to give you a job as whatever vocation that you're studying for. So while you're studying, you're also getting real world experience on that same thing. So by the time that you leave, not only do you have your license to operate, you've already got a job.
Also, that doesn't account for people who are in performing arts. I know so many people here who would be doing so much better if they were in a school specifically for art or dance or music.
Yeah, but that's a whole nother potato there.
Exactly. And like, I feel as though that kind of goes from the idea of allowing kids to explore creativity and explore different career options. I feel as though you're always like, the only time you're able to really have a big dream career is until like age 8, when you can be like, oh, I want to be an astronaut, or I want to be like the first woman on the moon or something like that. And then something shifts in everyone at age 10, or like around that age where like you're about to go into middle school, of you're not allowed to have that anymore. You're suddenly just going to be slapped in the face of reality of, well, what kind of job do you expect to get if you go in and you get like a degree in journalism? Or what are you expecting to do? Like, what do you do if you break your leg and you've gone to dance school? And it's like, well, you know what? I'm having a good time.
Okay. So to kind of get back to like, what I was trying to say, though, right, is that there's all these other opportunities for technical jobs.
Yeah.
And a lot of people who do these jobs within a couple years of being out, some of them have their own practices. A lot of them are making like $60,000 to $80,000 a year with no debt, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
So that's just, they're making just bank. And like, this much less so applies to like what you were talking about, of creative arts and stuff like this, but definitely applies to vocational stuff, is that we look down upon people who do that.
Exactly. And why?
As a society, we look down upon like plumbers and like electricians and welders and stuff like that, because they do jobs that are very like physical labor-y and like all this stuff. And like, you didn't go to school, you don't know anything.
Yeah, and you know what? I am still pulling cash.
Well, here's the thing, though, is without people like that, the world doesn't go round.
Mm-hmm.
That's how your houses get wired. That's how your indoor, that's how your toilets work. That's how the buildings and skyscrapers and stuff get made, is because of welders. And
I was like, gonna say, like, I don't know about you, I wouldn't know what to do if my sink broke right now.
Yeah, I mean, like, there's, with all of these people who do these jobs, I mean, they're so, like, they can be looked down upon so easy. Why? And I'm a little conspiracy here. I really think that it's because, like, college has become such a big industry.
Oh, 100%.
A tax-free industry, that they've just put it into the people's minds that we'd have to go to college to be anything in life.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, that's just been so, like, just forced into the minds of everyone at generation after generation after generation of, like, this is what you have to do, this is what you have to do, this is what you have to do.
Well,
and, like, there's these massive colleges who are just sitting on these huge, like, trust funds. And, like, again, it's all tax-free.
And I think a part of it, kind of going off of that, is a sense of elitism.
Yeah.
Like, you were talking about how it was almost frowned upon in your town that you went to WKU. And I think that's a sense of everything of like, I at one point was, oh, I've talked about my job at a department store before, had a woman who like, because I look a bit older and I talk a bit older than I actually am. And I was checking someone out and this woman looked at her kid and was like, that's why you need to go to school, sweetie, so you don't end up like her. And I was like, first of all, I ended up looking at her. I was like, ma'am, I actually am in school to be a journalist. I'm currently a sophomore. And she goes, oh, I didn't know. And I was like,
so of course you didn't. How could you? Why would you say something
exactly.
like that?
Exactly. And I think it's this thing of everyone wants to have some sort of edge on someone. And especially since college is such a commodity, it's so expensive. It's another way to look at someone who is maybe poor, or look at someone who just can't afford college and
doesn't want to go,
and just turn up your nose and have some sort of high horse sense of superiority because you're $200,000 in the hole for a piece of paper that you majored in finance.
No, people who major in finance, they're for the most part doing well. I know one particular mister who probably listened to this, who would tell me that he is in a good amount of debt still and that he majored in finance. But no, for the most part, they're doing pretty well for themselves, especially when they realize that they should really set out on their own and not have worked for a bank for the last several years.
Cough, cough.
Anyways, but no, I mean, it's just a thing of like, I totally agree with that. Yeah. Like, it becomes a thing of elitism, and like that you really just want to look at other people like, okay, I need some way of ego defense.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, that's even like, now that I think about it.
Oh, he's got the iPad. He's going for it. He's got notes.
Yeah.
Oh, snap.
That's the wrong notes.
But no, and like I said, I think it's just another way for people to use to, oh, this is something that I could do because I worked hard for it. And I think I was able to achieve something. And you're like, great. How much debt are you in right now?
Right. So you've heard of Maslow's hierarchy of needs, right?
Yes, I am a psychology minor.
Right. Well, Maslow's hierarchy of needs talks about how the top need,
mm-hmm,
that everyone aspires to get to is self-actualization.
Yeah, essentially you do not need anything else. You are content in,
yes,
your life.
Well, there's also a Maguire's classification system of needs, one of which is ego defense, which I feel like ego defense and self-actualization are pretty close together.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact of self-actualization, you can definitely say that going to college is a form of self-actualization,
mm-hmm,
that you're bettering yourself to do something for the rest of your life. But I think that it turns into, after you graduate, ego defense, of it gives you this boost of like confidence and self-worth, and now you have to defend it. And so whenever you're in line for like a McDonald's or something and your kid was with you or whatever, you're like, that's why you should go to school, dude. Like that's where those kinds, mm-hmm, of comments come from. And I think that ultimately stems from colleges making it a thing of like, you should always go to college.
That reminds me, I used to watch this show a lot. It's called Two Broke Girls. And essentially, one girl comes from a much like wealthier family that cuts her off, and the other is from like a more poorer family that was a lot of tough love. And they get this job at a coffee shop, and the girl from much higher society goes, well, you know, I went to Brown. I think I know how to operate an espresso machine. And the guy who's talking to her goes, yeah, well, I went to Harvard. I think I know how to tell you how to work an espresso machine. And the poor girl goes, yeah, and I went to juvie. Yeah, we're all wearing the same apron. And then just walks off. And I was like, that's it. That's it right there. Is that no matter where you are, for one thing, we're all just trying to get a job and get by at the end of the day, at the end of it all.
Yeah.
And you know what? It doesn't matter where you went to school. Well, I won't say that. In some places, there is the kind of going off the idea of superiority of if I go to apply for a job as a Harvard grad and the guy who's going to be doing my interview also happens to be a Harvard grad,
your chances of getting that job just skyrocket.
Yeah, but that's honestly about the only thing I can really see the name of your school making a difference in. Because guess what? I still got a degree in journalism. Doesn't matter if I got it from here, UK, U of L, the University of the North Pole.
Right.
I'm still qualified. Just because I don't have a $200,000 degree attached to my major. Yeah. You know what else I've got attached to my major? Multiple resumes and multiple things I've been affiliated with outside of college.
Right. Because you can definitely make up for like prestige of a school with that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
kind of wrapping up here.
I think that's just the biggest, that's hitting the nail on the head, is it doesn't have to be the end all be all for you if that's not what you want.
Right. Trying to encourage high school kids to look at to not just look at colleges, but okay, so you need to choose your college now. And not even giving them not even taking a couple steps back and being like, you need to start considering if college is for you.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's where we need to start. I think that's where that needs to come from. Because, like, if it doesn't, then we're just raising a generation. We're raising more and more generations of people who are just going to be in debt for their entire lives.
And to be honest, I think that goes double for parents. Because you know what? A guidance counselor only knows me so much. My parents.
And frankly, I think some guidance counselors are...
They're agenda pushing.
Yeah, well, I think they're also kind of like saying, hey, you should go to this school. I've been to that school. They give me things whenever
I send a kid or our school sends a kid over.
Who's particularly smart or whatever.
Even parents, looking at your kid, you know your kid. You know how they are mentally. You know how they are physically. Look at them and think, is a top name university going to be good for my kid? Not good for their education, not good for their social life,
or even the opportunities. Yeah. All of that aside,
is that going to keep my kid safe? Is my kid going to be okay if I put them in this giant swimming pool with no lifeguard?
Because they're going to this huge university that when they graduate, or if they graduate, that they're going to be walking out of with copious amounts of debt that they have to spend the rest of their lives trying to work off.
And a degree they're stuck with, and if they want to change it, guess what? You got to do the whole thing again.
Yeah.
And that's the same amount of money, the same amount of time, the same stress, and everything like that. College, something no one ever really talked about to me is how much of a commitment college is. Not even in the sense of time or energy expended, but just at the end of it all, I am going to be attached to WKU for the rest of my life with my degree. Anytime I go to apply for a job, I am going to be Sarah Walters from WKU. Or I am going to be, I have my journalism degree from WKU.
Right.
So if anything happens with WKU, where they get in hot water, guess who that reflects on? Case in point, everything that went on with U of L a couple years back.
Yeah.
I know so many people who have their degrees from U of L who now wish they could wash their hands of it. But guess what? I'm $40,000 in the hole with U of L right now. And they've got their little cardinal plastered all over my degree.
Yeah.
Let's all take a deep breath.
Yes. Yes.
Well, I'm tense now. I got angry.
Well, thank you for listening to this episode of Revolution Solution. This episode was something of a...
We've talked about this a lot,
yeah. It's something of a personal kind of thing that the two of us talk about a lot.
Mm-hmm.
But thank you again. Thank you so much for listening. I hope everyone enjoyed this episode. We'll get to see you all next week. Same time, same place.
Same people.
Same people. But with that said, if you have a suggestion for the show, for a topic for us to talk about,
and please do, because there are times where we're like, we have to record the podcast tomorrow. Oh God.
Yeah, I mean, but we also would love to hear from you guys and see what you have to say. So if you have a suggestion for the podcast, the easiest way to get into contact with us is giving us an email at revsol917@gmail.com.
And spell that for me, Alex.
And that is revsol917@gmail.com. And one more time, that's revsol917@gmail.com.
Also, if you want to email us about what your college application was like, or just your ideas of telling kids to go to college, we're always looking for feedback.
Absolutely. And if you've got something of your own story of how your college experience was great, or if it was harrowing because of the debts that you were going into and you just finally decided it wasn't good enough for you, it wasn't good for you, and you just left, and these are things we'd love to hear about. So make sure to drop us a line at our email address, revsol917@gmail.com.
Red head out?
I think so. So this has been Alex.
And Sarah.
And thank you for listening to Revsol. We will see you next week.
Bye-bye.